You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank, and this week it is episode 80. Not so retro, a little retro, not super retro. We're talking Rock Band for the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, the Wii, the PS2, the fucking everything. It's on everything now. This one was tough for the music. If you noticed listening to that intro where you could kind of hear like the tires and shit like that going on, I actually took the intro video from the game and used that music. I'm going to use the Rock Band 2 intro video at some point. And then I'm going to try to put maybe, I don't think I am. I was going to put one of the songs from the game in there, but I dealt with it with Tony Hawk, and I dealt with it with Grand Theft Auto, the Vice City episode, where I got flagged and stuff for using music, and I just don't feel like dealing with that anymore. Hopefully I don't get flagged for using the intro videos from the games. But yeah, so if it sounded a little bit weird, it's because they're ripping through the desert on top of cars playing rock songs for some fucking reason. I don't get it. But anyway, I'll get into that in a minute. As you can tell, obviously, this isn't the most retro episode ever. But I'm trying to branch out a little bit, try different things. And I thought that this game fits that remember concept perfectly, because we all remember playing Rock Band. This game was like, it was almost like Pokemon Go for a little while. Like, this game fucking took over the world. So we'll get more into that in a few minutes. You know, I am going to rant first. If you don't feel like listening to the rant, check out the comments or the description or whatever, and you'll see a timestamp of where to skip to if you just want to hear us talk about Rock Band. And I'm not gonna lie to you guys, my blurb here isn't gonna be too retro-y either. It's gonna be a little bit about modern gaming. I don't talk too much modern gaming on here, but some news is coming out with the PlayStation 5 and the new Xbox, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and I just want to weigh in on the current state and the future, possibly 2020, of video games. So that's what we're going to talk about in the intro here. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame. We'll follow you back, I promise. Find us on Facebook.com/RememberTheGame and obviously Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. You can win stuff and I'll say your name and blah, blah, blah. There's your shout outs. I made too many notes, so I'm trying to read my notes here. Okay, first foremost, the first news I wanted to talk about was Final Fantasy VII Remake, because that's a little bit retro game related, because it talks about a game that we covered on this show way back in the day. And they just announced that it's been delayed for a month. It was supposed to come out in March. Now it's coming out in April. I don't remember if they said the specific date. But it's been pushed back a few weeks anyway. I don't really think it's a big deal. I know some people are kind of upset about it, but I looked up the quote to make sure I got it right. It's one of my favorite quotes in all of video games. It's from the legend himself, Shigeru Miyamoto, if you don't know who that is. He's the godfather of Nintendo and created Mario and all that stuff. And he once said, a delayed game is eventually good. A bad game is bad forever. And I love that concept, and I know that you can get like day one updates and stuff like that, but it's not the same. How many games have we seen released over the last few years that have been broken right out of the gate, or just not up to expectations, or the quality has been there right away and they've just never recovered? Even if they're like, hey, a patch is coming, it just has never, you lose that day one momentum, they're fucked. And you want to talk about momentum and expectations and eyeballs on you and stuff like that. The Final Fantasy VII Remake is, I'm not saying it's everyone's most anticipated game of 2020, but it has to be. You can't have a discussion of the biggest games coming out in 2020 and not mention the Final Fantasy VII Remake. People have been talking about this game since like the PS3, when they showed that demo of what FF7 would look like on the PS3. I think it was the PS3. It might have been the 4. No, it was the 3. I'm pretty sure it was the 3. Anyway, I can't even imagine the pressure they're under, the expectations that are coming on this game. So if you have to delay it a month, that I see no fucking problem with that. Delay it fucking 4 more months if you have to. I know none of us want that, but like, get it right. Because if you don't get this game right, Square or Enix, whatever the fuck you're called now, you're boned. It is going to blow up in your face. And my buddy Chris pointed out to me that now in April of 2020, Cyberpunk 2077, the Resident Evil 3 remake, and Final Fantasy VII Remake are all going to be dropping within that 30 days in April window. That's fucking crazy. And I'm curious to see. I don't think either one is going to have a gargantuous effect on the Resident Evil 3 remake sales, because I think that one is, I'm not going to say under the radar, but I think it is compared to Cyberpunk and Final Fantasy VII. I mean, I think if you were going to buy it, you're going to buy it. And if you weren't, you weren't. And that's all there is to it. But the Final Fantasy VII remake, I do think, could take a chunk of Cyberpunk's sales. And I mean, and you know what? I mean, maybe there's a counter argument that Cyberpunk is going to take some sales away from Final Fantasy VII remake. I don't think so. I get that Cyberpunk is like one of the most anticipated games of the year for sure, but there hasn't been a 10-15 year wait for it like there has been with the Final Fantasy VII remake. And quite frankly, if I was releasing a game this year, that would be the game I would want to stay the fuck away from. Like in the past, like when Grand Theft Auto 5 dropped, or when Red Dead Redemption 2 dropped, or like one of these fucking monster games comes out, you're just like, hey, you know what? I was going to release my game that day. I'll keep it. I'll hold it back for a month or whatever, you know, stay the fuck away from it. And I feel like I'm curious to see if Cyberpunk replies, or if they're just like, all right, fine, we'll go at it with Final Fantasy VII. Cause that's going to be a crazy month, and not everyone can afford to buy both, you know? So anyway, so that was the first news I wanted to touch on. News is starting to come out regarding the next-gen consoles as well, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X, or whatever the fuck they're calling it. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, go somewhere else, go to a different podcast if you want all the spec details and all the latest news and stuff like that. That's not what this show is. I'm just a video game geek who loves games, has an opinion, and has a microphone. So I'm going to tell you quickly what I think is going to happen before we get any more information regarding these consoles and the next-gen setup. Start with Xbox. As you guys know, I shat all over Xbox for the first 65 episodes of this show. And I loved my Xbox 360, and I actually quite liked my original Xbox as well. But I really thought they fucked up with the Xbox One, and I was ready to write them off. And then I got one on sale for Black Friday, and I remember how much I love Xbox now. And, I think that Microsoft deserves a lot of credit, because they really pulled themselves off the mat to try to fight back this generation. And they're not winning. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, the Switch has now outsold the Xbox One, and the PS4, I think, sold two, I think it's 100 some million units to 40 some million units, like 2.5 times. Like, they murdered them. But Xbox is getting ready for next gen, man. They have bought, they've got Game Pass, which is gaining a ton of momentum in the gaming world. Their sales are picking up because all the Xboxes are on sale right now. Everyone's picking them up and then discovering how awesome Game Pass is. xCloud is coming right away, which is a streaming service to be able to play your Xbox on different things, which I'm lukewarm on, but I totally get the appeal of it, particularly with the Switch showing you how nice it is to be able to play your games portably. They're hyping the Xbox Series X as like the most powerful console ever. And I don't even know anything about specs to try to tell you guys about it, but I do know that they're hyping it up as this absolute nuclear bomb of a fucking console. And the biggest criticism of Xbox forever has been the lack of exclusives outside of the Gears and the Halos. They don't have those. They don't have the Uncharted's and the Last of Us's, and then I guess the show and all those, you know, God of War and all those other Spider-Man. See, every time I try to stop, I think of another exclusive that Sony has that Xbox doesn't. But Microsoft has gone out and bought a ton of studios to develop what we assume to be exclusives for their next systems. And they're about to release all these. And when they drop the new Xbox and they come out with all these exclusives and all these new games, they're all going to be on Game Pass. So you don't have to pay $80 or $60 or whatever it is, wherever you live, to get each of these games. You can just buy your Xbox, play them on Game Pass. And they've announced that all these games are also going to be playable on your Xbox One hardware. So if you don't have the cash to buy one of the new Xboxes, you can play all these new games on your old Xboxes. And I'm sure they're going to do something at E3 to show you what the new Xbox is capable of, to be like, hey, if you want to play the new Halo and you have an Xbox One, give her and play it. But if you want to play the most definitive, jacked up, souped up version of Halo, buy our new Xbox. And I'm 100% sure that this thing is going to be more expensive than the PS5 because they're hyping up more power than the PS5. But I've heard a lot of analysts say they think you're going to get the definitive Xbox. I don't even know what to call it anymore. But the definitive new Xbox that is going to be this fucking hoss of a machine. And then maybe a little bit cheaper version of the new Xbox that matches specs with the PS5 and matches price with the PS5. And it all is just very fascinating to me. Like, it's, they got murdered this generation against the PS4. Fucking murdered. And I was writing them off. If you go back and listen to old episodes, I said they should just get out, work with the Switch, and combine forces. But now they seem like they have geared up and they are ready for a fight. And we all know Microsoft has fucking money. So I can't wait to see what they roll out at E3. And I can't wait to see how they respond and try to take, finally take that crown away from PlayStation. And as far as PlayStation goes, some people have told me that they think I'm too hard on Sony. Well, one person has told me that. And I don't think I am, personally. Like, I loved my PS1 when I had it. That was the first system I ever bought with my own money. I really enjoyed it. The PS2 was fucking everywhere. I bought one of those for the DVD player and then played a bunch on it. I got a PS3 late, admittedly, because I didn't have the cash for a PS3 and an Xbox 360. But really, really enjoyed it. It got my hands on Last of Us, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And then I had a PS4 forever, and then I finally sold them a couple years ago, and I'll be buying another one this year to play Final Fantasy VII and Last of Us 2. Sony has never lost a console generation. The PS1 murdered. The PS2 is the greatest selling system of all time. The PS3 slipped off the hop. I think they got a little arrogant with the PS2, but they came back and ended up beating the Xbox 360 in the end, and the PS4 fucking dominated. Do you guys remember the E3 where the PS4 and then all the Xbox news and everything happened, and Microsoft came out and announced all this stuff about Xbox, about how it always had to be online, and they were pretty cocky and pretty arrogant, and then Sony came out and dropped a system that was $100 less and showed that if you want to share games on a Sony, on a PlayStation 4, all you do is give them to each other instead of having to register and do all this stuff like Xbox was originally going to try to do. It wasn't even a fight. They fucking jumped Xbox on the way to the ring and won. So to write off the PS5 is insane, right? Like, to quote one of the greatest of all time, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And PlayStation is the man. And they have their loyal fans that are going to buy their system. Of course they are, right? But if Xbox launches a new system or new systems, including a beast variant one that destroys the PS5 with stats and another one that matches the PS5 with stats, a mountain of new exclusives with Game Pass, with backward compatibility, with all these things, how does Sony reply to that? Because they can't just go in doing what they did the last four gens and assume it'll win. I don't think it will this time. Maybe it will, but I don't think it will. I think they tried that with the PS3 when they dominated with the PS2, and that almost bit them in the ass. They played catch up for most of that generation to clean that mess up. So, I mean, they've got PlayStation Now, which is cool, but it's not as cool as Game Pass. But I mean, they do have those exclusives, right? Uncharted, Last of Us, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Spider-Man, The Avengers, God of War, the show for at least another year anyway. They've got a massive install base. I'm sure they're going to drop some big games. I can't wait to see what Sony does to fight back against what apparently seems to be an all-out assault from Microsoft. And I can't wait to see what the all-out assault from Microsoft is. Because at the end of the day, the winners are going to be us. It's going to be the gamers. I don't care what side of the fence you fall on. It's going to be exciting for all of us. And you don't have to fall on either side of the fence. I'm not saying you have to buy both systems. If you can't afford them both, that's fine. But there's no reason to go on Reddit or go on message boards or whatever and call people discriminatory, negative, gross names because they play a different system than you. Let them battle with each other and the fucking consumers win. And then just quickly, there's Nintendo. And the Switch will be 4 years old by this, or almost 4 years old by this Christmas when these systems come out. And it's already about a half a generation behind the Xbox One and the PS4. It is going to be a fucking mile behind the PS5 and the new Xboxes. And I'm curious to see how Nintendo battles back. I think that a Switch Pro that has been rumored forever is certainly a possibility. And I'm sure they're doing everything in their power to have Breath of the Wild 2 ready to launch for Christmas. Because that has got to be, that has to be their best shot at staying relevant this Christmas. Here's a new Xbox or a new Switch Pro, and it's packaged with Breath of the Wild 2. And Breath of the Wild 2 is the biggest bullet they have in the chamber. I'm excited. I fucking love it. I love gaming. I'm excited to find out what's going to happen. New generation consoles, like the rollover from generation to generation only happens once, you know, every 6-7 years. So it's exciting. I'm going to be getting one of them, I think, when they come out. I just don't know which one. It'll be up to them to sell me on it. And I want to hear from you guys. What system are you going to be picking up? A PS5, a new Xbox, a Switch Pro if it comes out? Neither, none, all, fucking tell me. And just quickly, this just broke before I get into the podcast and what I've been playing. Speaking of Nintendo, they announced a direct that they'll be announcing the next Smash Bros. Fighter on Thursday. I don't play a lot of Smash anymore. I don't buy the DLC. I get why people do. There's too much other stuff I want to play, and I'm not that good. But it still excites me. I'm always excited to see what the new characters are going to be. The rumor floating around, I guess if you want to avoid spoilers, skip the next 20 seconds, is Dante from Devil May Cry, which I guess is cool. I'm not a big Devil May Cry fan, whatever. My wish is Dixie Kong, as I've wanted her in this game since like the Ultimate was fucking announced, because I love Dixie Kong. And if I'm going to go off the script and just not be the normal, like, oh, it's going to be Dante and I have to pick somebody else, then I want to say Waluigi, but I don't think we're going to get it. You know what? I'm going to go off the wall and say Master Chief. Let's go with it. Let's do it. Xbox drops the ball. I mean, maybe Banjo-Kazooie, but I'm going to go with Master Chief. I think that'd be fucking sick. That'd be so sick, wouldn't it? Fucking Master Chief. If Snake is in there, Master Chief could be in there. So anyway, that's a long enough intro. I'm going to take a really quick break just to tell you guys about my wrestling podcast. It's like 30 seconds. You can listen to the music in the background if you want to. It's not advertising. It's me plugging me. When I get back, I'll tell you what I've been playing, and then we will set the stage for Rock Band.
Oh, my gosh! So close! He kicked out! He kicked out! He kicked out! If you
Hey, geeks. I love video games, and I also love pro wrestling. And after hyping it up for about a year and a half now, my new wrestling podcast is here. Wrestling with Wrestling. It looks at the workings of WWE, NXT, AEW, and whatever else I want from the world of the squared circle. Give it a shot. Search for Adam Blank Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WWWrestlingPod. P-O-D will follow you back. Check it out. So what have I been playing over the last 7 days? Primarily Ori and the Blind Forest on my Xbox One. You guys, it is so good. And if you're interested, follow again Twitter and Instagram at Member the Game. I've been tweeting about it and Instagramming about it or whatever, instinging about it or whatever the fuck the term is. It is so good. The sequel comes out this year and it has skyrocketed up my most anticipated game list for 2020. It's now Last of Us 2, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ori and the Willow of the Wisp, whatever the fuck the sequel is going to be. I am so excited for this game. You guys know I love Hollow Knight. I've sang its praises on here forever. This game was like Hollow Knight. It was easier, more platformy. The combat is a little bit lame. Like, the combat can't touch Hollow Knight's. I thought the platforming was better. It's just a beautiful, beautiful game. It's fucking perfect. I loved it. I love when Metroidvanias are done right. By the end of the game, you're a fucking god. You can see where everything is on the map. You've got all the abilities to get everything you couldn't get to before that you could see. And then instead of just going through and beating the game, you want to go through, clean it up like a nice vacuum and just fucking get rid of all the stuff. I 100%ed it on normal. I want to play it again on hard. I'm pretty tempted to fire it up again and play it on hard. It was so good. So Ori and the Blind Forest, it's on Game Pass if you've got an Xbox. It's on the Switch. I believe it's still on sale. Cannot recommend it enough if you like platforming and Metroidvanias. Fucking fantastic. And I've also been playing The Witcher 3 on my Switch whenever I can, mostly when I watch TV with my girlfriend and stuff. Seems like it runs pretty good. I played it on the PS4 a while ago. I'm sure that's still the definitive way to play it, but I have no beef with how it's run on my Switch so far. A little bit of pop-up and stuff like that, but that doesn't bother me, especially on that little handheld screen. Really enjoying it. And then I actually haven't been playing a lot of retro stuff the last few days. I've been just so fucking focused on Ori and the Blind Forest because it's been so goddamn good. So that's what I've been playing over the last 7 days. Let's talk about something I was playing 7 years ago. It was actually more than 7 years ago. I just wanted that to sound smooth. Episode 80 of the show, we're talking Rock Band. Everybody fucking had this game back in the day, right? At least the Guitar Heroes, if not Rock Band. Those, if you go to a flea market and they don't have those plastic instruments laying somewhere, is it really a flea market? Like, probably not. Everybody played these games. I wasn't huge into Guitar Hero, but I fucking loved Rock Band, man. I was the drummer of our group. I loved those drums. That broken pedal, that was the hint yesterday. I had so many people reach out to me with, you know, I taped butter knives to it or fucking whatever. My dad actually made a slab of wood for me that was like 1.5 inches thick, the same size as the pedal, and we super glued the pedal on top, and that was how I fucking, or we super glued it on top of the pedal, and that was what I used. Occasionally we get a little more modern with this show, and this is going to be one of those episodes. It sure feels like a remembered game. I hope you guys enjoy it. My buddy Andre is here to talk Rock Band with me. I am going to cue some music, and we are going to talk Rock Band, which released on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 on November 20th, 2007. Then it launched on everything. It's everywhere. Enjoy the episode, you guys. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. Okay, so like, I don't know if I've ever been more concerned about what music I'm going to put into an episode of this game or this podcast than I have with this one. Like, literally, it's
all copyright, isn't
it? Dude, you and I agreed to talk Rock Band about a month ago, And literally over the last, every time I go to edit an episode of the show, what's one of my favorite parts is I get to listen to some of the music of the game. And I'm like, oh yeah. And like Tony Hawk and Grand Theft Auto, I ran into some minor issues, particularly with my YouTube uploads because of the music that ran on.
Yeah, YouTube just hates anything with music.
I know. And then I was like, Rock Band. I was like, well, what the fuck am I going to do with this? Because this whole game is based around music and it's all owned music. We're talking Rock Band. We're talking the Rock Band series. We're going to just get the whole thing out of the way now. I'm not talking about all of these games. I don't...
They blend together.
Dude, I don't know if there is... I mean, this game... Like, Rock Band is like the cooler Wii Fit. It was the game that, like, everybody had and everybody played. And now, anytime you go to a flea market or a garage sale or something where there was a gamer, you could buy the peripherals for, like, $10. They're just like, hey, just take them and get them out of here, please.
When I was looking to... I was looking at buying a PS2. I was going through Kijiji. I'm not going to go to a game store because they're going to overprice me anyway. And no one place I'm going to get that's Game City, and they suck. And so I was online, and the amount of people that were trying to sell, they're selling their PS2 or whatever with that, but it was bundled with Guitar Hero stuff that I don't want because I have no interest to play those games anymore.
Dude,
it took forever to search through to find just a PlayStation, specifically a PlayStation Slim. And the amount of people that sell that stuff now, like the Guitar Hero and Rock Band stuff, it's crazy.
I'll tell you right now, I guarantee you there are people listening to this show that have fucking plastic instruments laying around their house where they're like, what the fuck am I ever going to do with these? There's probably a landfill somewhere.
I threw mine out. Like, legit, I think I never owned the drums because I played them with your brother and I sucked. So I actually only ever owned them, like, bought the mic and bought the guitar.
Right.
Because... those are the ones I was halfway decent at. The drums, I could just never get the beat sound. I could never.
The drums are the best. But I'm telling you.
They're fun to play. I just always sucked at... I can't keep time with playing a drum and keep my foot going at the same time.
Right.
So I couldn't do it.
There has to be like a landfill somewhere. Just fucking filled with these shitty plastic instruments. So, I mean... I'm not even going to explain everybody knows what fucking Rock Band is. So like it all started with Guitar Hero. Like Guitar Hero was, and I'll be honest with you, Andre. I never got it. Like, I don't know if we'll ever even do a Guitar Hero episode of this show. Cause I never got into it.
I think between me and your brother, cause like, again, this series, all my memories are with your brother and Jason and our buddy Jason. And between the two of us, I think the only one we really got into was Rock the 80s. And that was because it had an 80s soundtrack to it. So, but Rock Band was the one we really played the most of.
I mean, so Guitar Hero was, I mean, we all know Guitar Hero was a fucking phenomenon when it took off, right? And you could play these fucking plastic guitars.
The games that they spawned. Like, right. Oh my God.
But then that spun off and then people started, I mean, obviously they made Rock Band. And basically what they did was they were like, well, Guitar Hero was fun. Let's make a party game. And so then instead, Rock Band became, you could have two guitars, and one would be the guitar and one would be the bass.
I know in Guitar Hero you could have two guitars because you could battle back and forth.
Oh, okay.
I know in that one you could battle back and forth, but you didn't play together.
No, you didn't.
I know there must have been some co-op mode at some point, but you couldn't play together.
No, it was like, so they took Guitar Hero, which was like a fun game for people to play, and they were like, let's make this into like a, and I honestly, and people are going to fucking yell at me for this. Was Rock Band? That was a Harmonix. Did Harmonix make the Guitar Hero games, or was that somebody else? That was somebody else.
It's got to be. There's no way they released two separate franchises.
No, because
they would have just improved on Guitar Hero at that point.
Yeah, because then Guitar Hero ended up coming out with Guitar Hero World Tour or whatever, where they had drums and shit too later.
Yeah, remember and they? I know. Yeah, but for me, it really, once you had your Rock Band drums, though. You didn't need to purchase any of the guitar. If you wanted to buy a Guitar Hero World Tour, you could just use Rock Band drums.
Right, yeah.
Everything still responded the same.
Right. So Guitar,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. Guitar Hero took off, but then Rock Band took the concept of Guitar Hero where you could sit around and just play the guitar with each other and made it into like a, not only a party game, but like for a while it was the party game. I remember literally both hosting and going to house parties.
Oh, yeah.
Where we would just play Rock Band, and it would be like the coolest thing where everyone's watching and you have someone on the guitar and someone playing the bass with another one of those guitars.
Yeah.
Who you always gave to the worst of your two guitarists.
That was me. When I played, I could get up to about a hard mode. There's beginner, medium, hard and expert.
Yeah, it was like four difficulties.
The best I could ever do on guitar was hard.
Right.
But bass, I could play expert no problem.
Right, yeah. Well, because like, I mean, when I couldn't be on the drums, I took the bass because I sucked at guitar.
Yeah, me too.
But there was the guitar, the bass, there was the drums, which I thought were the coolest thing. And then there was the singing as well.
Yeah. The coolest thing about the singing though, I think it was Rock Band 2. There's a Beastie Boys song in there. If you just put the mic by the speaker and let it play, you get 100% on your mic because there was no pitch for Beastie Boys. You didn't have to change. It's that monotone auto-tune sound. It's totally gone through since, and it's just one solid sound.
Right.
The speaker would do everything for it.
I love it.
It was great.
So that was, oh fuck. And it was like just, okay. So like, and we haven't even gotten into the scoring and all the music and like the hard and the getting hundreds and all that shit. Literally just sitting there with your friends rocking out to some of these songs. Like I remember I remember like I ran a ball hockey team at the time and we would get out of ball hockey and then a bunch of us would be like, well, let's go back to play Rock Band. It would be like, it was almost like ball hockey was this thing we had to do before we could go and play and go and play fucking Rock Band. And like some of those songs would like, I mean, I like when I think of Rock Band, the two songs that jump out at me the most that I remember playing and just fucking adoring playing on Rock Band were Gimme Shelter.
Yeah.
And Living on a Prayer. Those are the two that jump out at me.
Yeah, I'm just the playlist alone, I can't remember anymore these days. So I gotta really look up the playlist for this one.
Like I'm just looking at it right now and like it says it came with 58 songs, and then over 2,000 downloadable songs. Like the amount of money this game probably made on DLC. Game received widespread critical acclaim with sales of 4 million units and global revenues of $600 million. Players have made over 100 million downloadable song purchases since Rock Band's release. And there's Rock Band 2, The Beatles, Lego Rock Band, Green Day Rock Band, Rock Band 3, and Rock Band 4. And I think that this ship has sailed now. Like, they're not making these games anymore. I think people are kind of...
Yeah, I don't think there's anything for PS4.
I think that part of the reason Rock Band is dead is because... No, there's not. Just looking at it right now. I think part of the reason the Rock Band franchise is dead is due to online. People don't get together to play games anymore. And this one, like,
this is a party game.
You have to be sitting in the same room, dude. That's half of the fun. And, like, you turn, like, I'm not a big sound guy. I don't usually play my TV that loud. But, like, when you're playing these games, you turn the TV fucking up.
Oh, for sure.
And you rock. And, like, again, you said that you played the bass.
I was playing bass mostly. Like, even at home by myself, I would play bass. Because just so I could play expert mode and get, like, the three, you know what I mean? So you can complete everything. I played the bass almost all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I always did the drums. Because I actually like the drums in real life. And also, so the drums, like, and the drums were what sold me on this game. Because I would play with Guitar Hero with my friends, and I was like, this is kind of neat, but I fucking suck at this. And I was never going to sing, because if you're listening to this, then you've listened to my voice for several hours. You're like, I wouldn't want to hear that voice sing. Oh, and I was
terrible at singing for those.
But
I think that was the hardest thing to find, was somebody that could sing in that game. Like, because I remember playing it with your brother and Jason, and... Like, I could play expert bass. Jason was, like, a wizard on that guitar. Like, his fingers I think he could still do it today. And Josh was really good at the drums, and he was playing expert-level drums.
Right.
But if we wanted to do a four-player, like, through an endless set list or get, like, four experts, it was hard to find a singer.
Oh, yeah, dude, same thing. We would, like, literally there'd be groups of, like, 30 or 40 of us at a party, and no one would sing. It would be three-player because nobody wanted to be the one, which I get. Like, singing sucks, especially when you're not drunk and karaoke-ing it. Singing can suck. But the guitar, the bass, and the drums. And what I fucking love... So the drum set, to me, was the coolest thing because it came with the four drum pads.
Yeah.
Like the red, yellow, green, blue. And you just had to hit them in the order that they would come up.
But
it also had the foot pedal that everybody broke.
Oh, for sure.
Everybody broke. I remember my dad actually helped me out and cut out like an inch thick... piece of wood, the exact shape of the foot pedal, and then we glued the broken foot pedal to the bottom. So had this like thick, like you were on, it was not going to break. Because everybody broke that thin, fucking cheap ass foot pedal stomping on it. The music notes would go up on the screen. And for anyone that's played these guitars, like everyone knows how the guitar and the bass worked, right? There was what, five buttons or four buttons?
There's five buttons, like
five finger buttons.
On easy, they'd only let you use three, maybe once in a blue moon, the fourth.
Right.
On medium, you were using four, and once in a blue moon, you'd have to hit the fifth.
Right.
And then again, when you get to hard, everything's all five. And then expert, just everything goes right. faster.
So then you're clicking hits. All these buttons while you're strumming that fucking thing.
And then I remember
thing.
At the bottom of the neck, because when you go into like the solo spots,
yeah.
you got to like hit the bottom. And you didn't have to click anymore.
Right.
Like the with those ones that were farther down the neck, you just hit them while you're in this like the solo.
That's right. You didn't have to strum it.
Or, yeah.
You just you had just, to hit the buttons.
But especially if you're playing expert guitar mode, you like I watched Jason with both hands hitting them and getting like perfects in there.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God.
And then the guitar had that fucking, and I don't know anything about actual music, so this is there's a real term for this, and I'm sorry. But the guitar had that fucking little weird bar that stuck up, remember? And you could like
whammy bar.
Yeah, yeah. And you could like play with it and make the sound so yeah. different. And to me, the funnest part of the game, particularly on the drums, but in any part.
I knew what that was called, was the whammy bar.
That's what we're calling it. Right. Don't yell at us, okay? was when you could fill in a spot with whatever you wanted. And I don't know if that was a thing on the guitar or the bass because I never played it. But
no, there was because right at the end, like it's usually at the end of songs and stuff.
Right.
You just had to strum as fast as you could just to get your points up. Just like sometimes that was the difference between getting like a full, the best score you can
right.
or a little bit lower. You have to strum like crazy.
Right. Okay. And then, yeah, like in the drums, you'd run into parts where there'd be infills like during the song
and
where you had like 10 seconds
to
just hit whatever you fucking wanted.
Yeah,
and
that
was always my favorite thing of just like,
just
going fucking nuts and then ending it on like the, and then going back to the song.
Yeah.
And then, so like, obviously you'd gain like momentum and stuff. Like if you didn't miss a note, then your momentum bar would fill up.
And then you hit that
higher scoring.
And with the guitar and bass, you have to tilt it and it would double your, whatever your score was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah
it was it very arcadey. Like it was just to try to run up your score as high as you could.
Very
right?
much so.
And the best part was like when you were really doing bad, the audience would like boo.
Yeah.
And if you missed too many notes, then it would
fail you.
Yeah, and you'd like get booed off the stage.
Yeah,
and that was so funny.
Oh,
and I like when you're playing at a party, and especially if you had a few drinks, and you're all yelling at like the one guy who's like sucking.
Yeah,
and you're just like, dude, like they're fucking booing us, and you
it's
really
all your fault,
right?
Well, and I don't know if it was the first one, but I know either in two or three, if you were doing that bad, you would boo out, but it would kick you out. But it wouldn't kick the. I think it didn't kick the entire band out.
Oh, really?
It just wouldn't give you the completion for that instrument.
So like your drummer gets kicked off stage, but the guitar and the bassist are still out there playing.
I'm not sure, but I remember being at points one being kicked out and the other still playing because if you're doing good enough, you can keep it going, and I think you can bring them back. I don't know if this was Guitar Hero or Rock Band or what, but I know that was at one point you could bring somebody back.
Oh, that's so fucking cool.
But you had to do so well and then use your like the tilt, the star power, whatever it was,
right,
to bring them back.
Oh.
And you get them back into the song. You only had a certain amount of time to do it and then it would fail you, I think.
Right.
But I don't for sure remember that.
Just such a fun party game, dude. And
oh,
then
for
like
sure.
And then like in Rock Band at least, I don't know, it's Rock Band. It's not, I don't have to keep saying I don't know about Guitar Hero because we're not talking Guitar Hero, we're talking Rock Band. I remember playing like the career mode. Excuse me. And you'd like design your band, like you'd come up with a name.
And then like, you could make each person like customizable.
Yeah, you could make each person look their own way.
Yeah.
Dude, because I remember we let the game name our band on like our main file.
Oh yeah.
And our band to this day, I remember our band name was Original Towel. And we were like, dude, we should actually, that's just such a sweet name for a band, Original Towel.
I know at one point me and your brother, it was like five seasons or something.
Right.
I don't know, we were just emo or something.
And I remember that you would like start out like in like these little venues, like little bars and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
the
crowd
first
would be
one,
cool.
It was you go to different locations. And I think the second one, you actually had like a world map.
Yeah.
Where you like, it showed you, I don't remember if it was the first or second, but you actually went, it showed a map of you going around the world. And once you complete locations, you go back and replay them.
Right.
But yeah.
It was
I thought that was really cool.
Me too, dude. Like to hear the crowd like coming along with it and like getting all excited was so cool. And even like, ah, oh, fuck. I feel so stupid nerding out about this, but like, I remember playing it and like, again, Living on a Prayer is the one that jumps out to me the most.
Yeah.
Because at the very beginning of Living on a Prayer, there's that like, doon, 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 doon. You know what I mean? Like that fucking riff. And like,
the one that jumps out to me more than anything is the song I hated more than anything in this entire series, and is Pinball Wizard by The Who.
Oh, yeah?
I hated it. Like, it's not even playing that song, it wasn't a hard song to play. Just after hearing it five times, and it's just not a song I like.
Yeah,
it would just grind me, and it was like in every second play. Like, whenever you went to a new town, you had to play like 3 to 5 songs and whatever thing to complete it.
Right,
it was in like every second playlist.
Yeah,
I hated it so much.
And you could like, you could like pick the songs you wanted to play, right?
There was some where there was a custom set list, but like I know some cities where you went to, there was always one where you would have like one or two plays you had to play.
Right.
Right. Like there was the five songs or six songs in, but then there was the other one. Cause you have to do it multiple times in different locations. And then there was the one where you can make your own set list. And then,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if,
you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer, and for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Fucking, I was just going to say, where the fuck is this, like, oh, yeah, I'm just quickly looking at, oh, God, some of these songs, like, I'm just looking at a list of songs in Rock Band. Feature tracks include Danny California by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's just the first
generation. Don't Fear the Reaper.
Oh, so good.
Enter Sandman. I remember doing Enter Sandman and fucking loving it. Learn to Fly by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, so good.
Oh, like, my God.
Just all the great songs, like, in this series.
And you're right. I remember the same thing. There were a few songs like Black Hole Sun.
Yeah, so,
and Creep.
Oh, I love Black Hole Sun.
I hate those fucking songs. And having to do those songs over and over. And like, even literally, I felt like I was mailing it in on like my bandmates.
Creep wasn't one I really crazy enjoy, but it didn't bother me. But like, I love Black Hole Sun. That's a song I still listen to this day. I was a fan of it. I was a Soundgarden fan, though. I was a fan of Soundgarden.
But the song, like, but this game was like, I almost feel like this game was...
Blitzkrieg Bop is on this list from the first one.
Blitzkrieg Bop,
that's so good.
I feel like this game was designed for DLC. Like, because I know I personally bought songs. I know lots of my friends bought songs. You would buy, like, your favorite band. You know what I mean? Like, I bought some Blink-182 songs. I bought Offspring. Like, the bands that I like, right?
Okay, so I know they did, they put it, like, I know when the first Rock Band, it was on PS2. So it came out with they dropped a track disc. Literally on here, one of them is Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld. Timmy!
South Park.
I just looked at it. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
And that's something else. I literally forgot all about that. I don't usually reference this kind of stuff, but like, who doesn't remember them playing this game on South Park?
Oh, they did. And they kept changing them. Like, Cartman would keep changing the lyrics.
Kenny was the drummer.
Yeah.
And then Stan and Kyle played the guitar. And then I remember Cartman singing Poker Face. Stands out to me to this day from playing this stupid fucking game.
And I don't remember, I think it was a guitar, they did a Guitar Hero episode where Stan got like, or one of them went.
Yeah,
like,
Stan blew up Stan and like blew ditched up Kyle.
And ditched Kyle. And it was like, just like, what the hell? I don't know if it was the same episode or not, but it was just like, what the hell?
That's how you know that what you've made has become a cultural phenomenon, is when it's showing up on South Park. And yeah, because
And they did, I know at one point, I don't know if it was like Robin 2 or 3, they released the Cartman version of Poker Face.
Oh, really?
It's just the same song. But it's the guy who voices Cartman singing it.
Oh, I love it. That's so good.
I can't remember what game it was, but yeah, that was hilarious.
Did they ever do like a battle of the bands? Like, I think that would have been a cool mode where like you had to like put up a certain score to like beat the other bands like on your turn. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that ever existed because they just did the world.
I don't remember. I think probably they probably did it at some point.
Right.
But like where this game kind of lost me was Rock Band 3.
Why?
Well, I started playing it, but like what I really liked about 1 and 2 was that it shows your people traveling to different parts of the world. Rock Band 3 opened when you started the game. It was just mostly a menu screen. You selected your song or you selected the players you're going to play that time. It didn't seem as cool. Like, don't we all? The music in that game was amazing.
Right.
Like they had Imagine by John Lennon in there, and I think they added a piano or a keyboard at one point.
Yeah, somebody added.
I think
a keyboard.
That was Rock Band 3. They added the keyboard because John Lennon's Imagine, because that's pretty much all keyboard,
right,
and singing. And that I remember being on Rock Band 3. Right. But like just I found the design in it. Like the graphics were beautiful when you're playing on stage. I just really liked the Rock Band 1 and 2 for that traveling with your band to the different cities and all that stuff.
Right.
And you're actually showing it and you have to go around the world map looking for the city.
Right. Yeah, I have to think that was kind of a divisive thing, right? Because I'm sure there were some people that wanted that. They wanted to be like, I want to do the touring.
You could still go back to the other cities and play them once you unlock the cities.
Right.
But yeah.
But I'm sure that there are people that wanted to do that career mode where you earn money and get tour buses and private jets and stuff.
As you got more famous, you went from your shitty van to a decent bus. Then right. You went to the super awesome tour bus. And you went to the plane and so on and so forth.
Right. But I'm sure I'm sure there are other people that just wanted to like
play the game.
We got our friends here. And we just want to jump in and play.
Just went into that party mode in 3. And right. Nothing wrong with 3. Like just that's kind of where... And I think at that point, it kind of run its course for me.
Yeah, I feel like, and I don't know when it happened, but I feel like just overnight, I feel like this is a very overused term. I use it too much, but I feel like overnight, Rock Band kind of jumped the shark. And then just all of a sudden, everyone's like, all right, I'm done with it. Like, this was a good time, but I'm done with this
now. Well, I think at that, like Rock Band 3, Rock Band 4, like you had Rock Band 2, Rock Band, I know there's a Rock Band Beatles, which I played the crap out of because... I am a Beatles fan until I die. My dad hooked me on that when I was young.
Right. They're not as good as the
Monkees.
There
was like all the Guitar Heroes. They had like Aerosmith, Metallica. Then there was like, I know Rock Band did like a Lego Rock Band at one point. Yep. So it was like everything was Lego style.
Yeah.
And I think it got overexposed.
Dude, I remember there was like a 3DS version with like a thing that clipped onto the 3DS where you could like, I was like, who the fuck wants to sit on the bus and play this like 3-button 3DS guitar.
Yeah, I had no idea who would want to play that. It's like, just like, what the fuck?
Overnight, it just kind of jumped the shark. And then it kind of got boring. And then again, now it like literally, like I bet you if you look at like the five.
There was even another game coming out, Rock Revolution, where the guitar was like actual strings or something.
Yeah, they got serious. Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, this has gone way too far.
I bet you the five biggest causes of pollution on the planet right now are fucking straws, Keurig pods, water bottles, oil and Rock Band instruments,
probably
because people like they're everywhere. They're like,
for sure.
You go to GameStop and they're probably like, I remember going in there for a while and they were like, it was like 3 pounds of guitars for $1.50. Just fucking get them out of here, please.
Yeah,
but everybody had them, right? But like, there was a time where this game was so big. I remember like I remember playing it one time with one of my friends, and the next day, I actually think I bought it at HMV back when HMV existed.
Oh,
and we went and bought a giant HMV thing and like, just playing over and over. And like you said, dude, the if I have a knock on it, it was like when the song that I hated came on, I was like, I don't want to fucking play this song again. But when you can just play the songs you like, it was a lot of fun.
That was what I think where 3 came in. It was a lot more custom set lists and stuff in 3. Mm-hmm. You could build your set list more. I know for sure 1, there was set lists, and I'm pretty sure 2 is the same thing.
And DLC carried over. Which was smart because people would have lost their shit if they spent all that money and then couldn't carry their games
over. Because I know with Rock Band 2, if you had your Rock Band 1 disc, you put it in once you install Rock Band onto your PS3.
Right.
If you put your Rock Band 2 disc in, even if it was a PS2 one, because I know we had it on PS2. The first Rock, or was it? No, PS3. Sorry. I'm thinking Guitar Hero at that point. But like, I know you could put the disc in and it would load them in and then it would let you...
And then you instantly had a bunch of songs.
Save the tracks, and you put the track disc in.
Yeah.
It would save the songs so you could play them in Rock Band 2.
And I remember it like sorting the songs by like difficulty. Because like I'm a Blink-182 fan, and most of the Blink songs that were on there, there's only a few, but they were all down and near the bottom, like near the easiest song.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that, like, because I was going to say, I wonder if it bothered bands when they would log in and see that all their songs were considered like easy, But then at the same time, it was like, you know what? For the royalty checks that they were probably cashing and for their really songs in these games, like, who cares?
Really, did Blink think their songs would be considered hard?
Blink knows. Dude, Blink sells merch at their concerts that says crappy punk rock. Like, they are fully aware of what they are.
They're like, you go get into like some of the songs were just like, and it's all those kind of like 70s, 80s metal songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, I know on Guitar Hero, there was a song by like, I think Dragon Force. And they legit, I mean, it wasn't Dragon Force, but there was a band that has two drummers, but you had to play it with one drum set.
Right.
And that song was played as a drummer. It was retarded.
Some of those songs were fucking hard, man.
And there were some songs in these games where it's like, legit, there's two guitarists in that band, like playing like full guitar.
Right.
But they morph it into the one guitar in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a huge thing for a while. Like, and then Guitar Hero tried to make it into like a band song. I remember there was DJ Hero for a while.
Yeah, that one I never touched. Me neither. My buddies I have a couple buddies who are actual DJs. They wouldn't like, I will never touch that.
Right. It feels like it was huge. And then all of a sudden it died. And now I just can't imagine a world where one of these games would work now because couch co-op is dead. And playing this online just wouldn't be nearly as fun. You got to be sitting there with your buddies where you can break your buddies' balls if they're killing you. And you got to like laugh and rock. It really is. You really feel like a band together. It's fun.
Aspect of it is what really stole that game.
God damn, they were fun back in the day though. And like, I mean,
for sure.
And I remember reading like criticisms of these games being like,
this doesn't teach you anything about it. It's not supposed to.
Well, and South Park did that, where he was just like, I remember like Stan's dad like telling them he could teach them how to play it on a real guitar, and they're like, why do we want to know that? Like, nobody wants to know that.
One of the episodes, it's the one where Stan goes famous because of Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
And literally the other kid he joins up with starts playing it, but he's playing it acoustically.
Yeah,
it's
just
him clicking the button.
At like a restaurant.
And it's everybody just like starts clapping to it. Yeah. I can't remember what the song was, but they all start clapping to it. And it's like, what the serious?
Someone's like, oh, I love this song. And it literally just like he's just pushing the buttons. Yeah, I don't know.
That's
that
song.
I remember people getting mad and be like, you could actually learn how to play an instrument. And you know what? Admittedly, maybe you could.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I learned how to, like, I terribly play guitar in high school,
right?
Like, terribly, who cares a crap? It was all about having the fun and playing these songs.
Yeah, most of, like, to me, like, the reason I play video games is I escape reality and I relax with them. And I mean, my girlfriend would argue that they don't help me relax because the sheer amount of video rage that I get when I play games.
When your brother moved into your bedroom after you moved out of your parents' house, we found the holes.
Yeah, I fucking have problems. It's funny because you could insult me, make fun of my family. I don't care, but give me a video game that makes me angry and like.
Yeah.
But it's about the escapism and like, and honestly, dude, I will say
you felt like a superstar.
I can't think of too many games where I felt this much of an escape from reality as I did with the Rock Band, playing it with my friends. And you literally, like, every time it would show one of your characters on the screen, like, be it the bassist or the guitarist or the drummer or the singer, and you're like, that's me! And he's, like, rocking out. And it was just so much fun to just forget about the world and just rock. We've all listened to these songs driving in the car and done the air drums or fucking rocked out while you're driving.
Yeah, it's pretty much doing air drums or air guitar. It's just right. You have a controller in your hand now.
With a controller and you're actually getting a score. It is so much goddamn fun.
As you say to the characters, just the customization of the characters and that you can make the looks different and all that stuff. That was so cool. It's not like just, oh, I'm generic guitarist number one. It's like you could actually make your character look cool.
Right. Yeah, dude, it was fucking just an absolute phenomenon. And there's just so few games that a lot of the games we do on here that are kind of cult classic games, I'm like, I don't think you should go back and play these. Like, I don't know what order these are going to go up in, but we recently recorded a podcast on the Twisted Metal games. And I was like, I don't know if these are worth playing today, like the first four Twisted Metal games. And it's funny because like Rock Band, I would love to fire up Rock Band and play with some of these games or play with this again. But the problem is I don't want to haul all those I sold my plastic instruments for like $10 and I don't want to go get them again just to try it. You know what I mean?
And the thing is I think to play this, you need to get people together. Like,
yeah.
I don't get me wrong. I know people that have mastered this game by playing by themselves.
Right.
And nothing wrong with that because they just really like it. And it's one of those games where, I play by myself a lot. When you can't get together with your buddies, you want to play some Rock Band, you play it on your own.
Yep.
But to do it now, I wouldn't just, like, if I if somebody was selling it cheap enough when I was looking for my PS2, if somebody was selling it for like a guitar for $5 on the internet and they want to bring it to me or mm-hmm. meet me at my work or something and drop it off me and I'll give them $5 for a guitar, maybe, because I still have Rock Band 2 sitting in my house.
Right.
And I have a PS3. But otherwise, I don't think I'd ever want to try and buy one of those instruments again.
No, because that's the thing, is you'd buy it, you'd play it once, and then be like, all right, well, now I'm the one stuck with these fucking plastic instruments that I don't want anymore. I think it's over and it's done, but it played a big, like, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to say it played a big part in gaming history, but like it was a big part of gaming history. And honestly, I think that Rock Band might be the last really good traditional couch co-op experience. Don't get me wrong, you could play Mario Party today or Smash Brothers or Mario Kart today or something together on a couch with your friends and at WWE or whatever and have fun.
Yeah.
But like I don't remember a game since the Rock Band series where you had to all get together and it was a party and you could all pass around the instruments and just rock out. And it was built to figure out
time to get together so you could do an endless set list. Because like,
yeah.
I know for the first one, it was like 50 some songs.
We had to play through every song.
And the second one was like 70 some songs. And the third, like it's just trying to get together to do that and set the times. Like you got to put together an entire day to play through that endless set list. Cause all you got to do is pause.
Yeah.
So you got to take breaks and all this stuff. So it was hard. And to do that now, I'm just like, I don't think I'd be able to get more than two people together.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I normally despise games that count on stupid peripherals to play. This might be the most, I mean, again, I mentioned Wii Fit right off the top. Then the two that stick out to me are this and Wii Fit. Like, as the most successful peripheral required video games of all time are the Guitar Hero Rock Band games and Wii Fit. Like, these actually worked. People bought them for the peripherals. People loved them for the peripherals. Good fucking time. Again, I don't know if I'll ever play it again, but fucking good times. God, I had fun playing these games. Yeah. I have no idea how I'm going to edit music into this,
but if you're hearing this, then
I figured it out.
I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. There's got to be like a generic like tune that opens the game.
I'm pretty sure there's some but they're tracks nobody played. And there's some games, I think, like in the Rock Band 3 and 4 they released that were like originals.
Yeah. I'll probably try that. Either or that, or I'll edit in some actual music, not put it on YouTube, and just pray that no one ever listens to my podcast that could sue me and take my like $80 Patreon. So. Andre, on a scale of, I don't know, there's 58 songs in the original game, apparently. So on a scale of 1 to 58 songs, how many games would you give Rock Band? How many songs would you give Rock
50.
Band? 50. I'll go 54. I had so many, like,
oh, so good.
I'll never play it again, but this is memories to me, right?
Oh,
couch co-op. This was like the new couch co-op. Fuck, it was fun. Everyone listening to this, you know what? If you're listening to this right now, leave a shout out on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or one of our accounts and let us know. I want to know if you still have plastic instruments at home. I want to see just how many people listening to this still have plastic instruments laying around the house, because I promise you there's a lot of you.
There's got
to
be at least a couple.
And then we'll get them all together and dump them in a lake somewhere.
Just burn them. This is group burning.
Yeah, fuck it. No straws. We'll just pour a bunch of fucking fake guitars into the water instead. Andre, thanks for doing this, buddy.
Always happy to.
And that's going to do it for this week's episode. Andre, thank you for coming over, talking Rock Band with me, and to every single one of you sexy, sexy people, thank you so much for listening to Remember the Game. We're 80 episodes in. I'm proud of that. You guys should be proud of it too, because we have grown this thing into a mini retro gaming empire. Check out Wrestling with Wrestling if you're into the wrestling stuff. And I will be back. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame, Facebook.com/RememberTheGame. And I don't mention it as often as I should, you guys. I mean it sincerely. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a good review. You don't even have to write anything. Just 5 stars done. It takes like half a second on iTunes. I don't know about the other stuff, but apparently it would really help us out. I'm not sure why, but apparently it would. That's going to do it, you guys. I'll get out of here. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in 7 days with episode 81 as we climb onward and upward toward episode 100. Go play some video games. Stay warm or cold or dry or safe, wherever you are. And I'll talk to you again in a week. Bye. Cheers.